So we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we believe that in the book of Ephesians that God reveals to us a healthy church model where there's a kingdom leadership team in place where the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher have been gifted by God to impart spiritual gifts, wisdom, and to be a leader in the church so that all the people of God can be equipped, trained, and empowered so that we can go forth into all the world. As Matthew said, Jesus' mandate was to go into all the world and make disciples. Mark said it this way, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we have a mandate on our life, and these are the two things that are necessary for the mandate to really come forth. Number one, as Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, wait, because I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then the other thing he says in Ephesians is, if you read it in context in Ephesians 4, it says, he ascended into heaven, and he returned gifts to men. And the specific gifts he's talking about are those five things, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so if we can receive the empowering of the Spirit, and then we can humble ourselves to receive the leadership of the people that God has put in our lives and in our church, then the outcome is so powerful because we have all the components in place to see the will of God take place in our generation. This is an amazing opportunity. You know, I think this message is so timely, and this series is so timely, because I believe with all of my heart that time right now, although it is in the natural, it is in the spiritual harvest time. And you know, one thing that happened last week is we doubled our capacity here at church. We went from one service to two services. And the amazing thing took place on a holiday weekend. We had our highest attendance in several months. We had 972 people worshiping God right here last weekend in this facility. That's crazy. This is awesome. God is moving in the hearts of people. He's drawing them to himself. And I just want to tell you, look around. There's a few open seats. Take this card. It says Harvest on the front. It says our service times on the back. And use it to invite people, because what we're experiencing right now is a time of harvest, and people are coming to Christ. It's as simple as listening to God and your daily life and carrying a card and saying, hey, I'd love for you to come to church with me. We have a great time together. People will come. So, but this series is right intertwined with that thing that's going on. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us very powerfully. It's time to lift our eyes, as it says in the scripture, because the fields are white unto harvest. Pray that God would send out workers into his harvest field. So we learned in part one of this series that if we're going to accept these gifts, it requires humility. Because once we come into agreement with the truth about this scripture, then we have to flesh it out. So we can mentally agree, but then the reality is when life happens, can we humble ourselves and receive from each other? So the big idea in week number one was unity demands a ruthless commitment to humility, because we have to choose to unify under the leadership structure that God has given us, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, the really important thing that we talked about in the first couple of weeks was this is not about the person who received the gift. It's about what the gift is given for. What is the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for? It is for the equipping of the saints. Church doesn't work if we expect the staff to do the ministry. Is our minister supposed to be in the ministry? Well, yeah. But you know what? We're all in the ministry. If you read the Bible honestly, it says every one of us is a minister, and God wants to equip us with all of these things. So if you hang around an apostle, you'll become apostolic. You'll be being sent. If you hang around a prophet, you'll become prophetic. An evangelist, you'll become evangelistic. Pastor, you'll start caring about people and wanting to shepherd them. A teacher, you'll start learning how to help people learn the principles of God and walk in the path that he has for them. And so these gifts are not so some important person can get the big head and think they're somebody. These gifts are given so that everybody in the local church can be built up encouraged and empowered to be in the ministry, to serve one another, and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout all of our circles of influence. And then when those circles multiply, guess what? We take it to the whole world. So part number two last week, 2 weeks ago, was the apostolic voice. And we said the apostolic voice creates a kingdom culture. Now, I would love to go back and reteach that message, but I don't have time. So if you'll go online or you'll grab your phone and get our app, you can go re-listen. You can grab a CD at the Connection Center. You can catch up to these concepts. But today, we're going to go right back into the book of Ephesians to talk about the prophets. So verse 11, chapter 4. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So Paul is describing the gifts of leadership that are given to the church to equip everyone in the congregation to be strengthened, uplifted, and empowered. So today's the prophetic voice, and here's the big idea. The prophetic voice reveals the heart and the will of God. So the five gifts mentioned here are not titles that people should aspire to. They are gifts and callings that God chooses to give. Now, you can't just wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, I'm going to be a prophet. That might be cool, but that's not the way it works. God chooses. Scripture is clear that God distributes gifts how he desires. And so, although in the book of Corinthians it says that we'll all prophesy, in the book of Acts it says that sons and daughters will prophesy, every believer can prophesy. What does that mean? It means you come into contact with the heart of God and you're able to articulate God's heartbeat for people, articulate God's will for people. How do you find that out? Well, you get in touch spiritually, but we also have an incredible guide called the Bible. Did you know that in churches all across America today, people have taken the Bible and tossed it, and they've turned church into a social club? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's never going to happen at Harvest Christian Fellowship, because the Word of God is the foundation on which we build our fellowship, our faith, and our practices. And so that should be something that gives you great comfort, because in a culture that says, let me tell you what love means, let me tell you what tolerance is, we say, let the Bible tell you what God says these things are. You have to believe and understand that God is a perfect father who's loving and kind and has every one of our best interests at heart. Therefore, we can hear the heart of God, we can hear the will of God, and we can follow in his steps and realize the blessing that he has for every one of us. So in Ephesians 4, the gifts describe leaders who have a responsibility to equip the church. So an Ephesians 4 prophet is not necessarily focused on end times, as many would say. There's a lot of confusion in the church today of what prophecy really is for. You know, you probably had a flyer on your car or stuck in your doorway that said, come to the prophetic conference and learn how God's going to destroy everything. Have you seen those? Well, I think many have confused what the prophetic voice is for. If the prophetic voice is going to reveal the heart of God, Jesus, who was the chief of all prophets, said this, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if I have the gift of prophecy, but I do not have love, I am nothing. So an Ephesians 4 prophet has the job of connecting people to the heart of God, not condemning people. The Ephesians 4 prophet has the job of helping people understand the heartbeat of a father. And you know, guys, I know some of us in culture say, well, you know, father's not a good word to me, but I want you to listen to the heavenly father who would never wrong you, abuse you, damage you, or hurt you. This is the perfect father. And don't you think today in our culture where half of the children in America are not living in the home with their father. Don't you think our culture needs the voice and heartbeat of a loving father who says, I will be the father to the fatherless. I will raise up sons and daughters, and I will equip them, and I will empower them, and I will provide for them. We need the voice of father back in our culture, and guess what? It's going to come really strongly through the prophetic utterance of the church. Woo! Every once in a while, I get lost in it. So let me paraphrase that. The prophetic voice is not something spooky. It's not something weird. It's not somebody you should be scared of because they're going to call you out and cast judgment upon you. That's not the role of a prophet. The prophet brings God's heart to people. Now, if you understand a father, sometimes it says, you know, as it says in Hebrews, discipline is not always pleasant, but it brings you back to the path, okay? So we're not saying it's all fluff and frills, okay? There's going to be times where the prophetic voice brings corrections. No problem with that. It's loving correction. Let's add to what we're speaking about this morning. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. In the New King James, it says the people perish. So this, when it talks about vision, it's like vision is being able to see where you're supposed to go. As a church, we need vision. As a family, we need vision. As individuals, we need vision. And if we're not in touch or open to the prophetic voice of the Father coming through His church, then we'll miss the path. So here's how I would say it. Where there's no prophetic ongoing revealing of the will of God to the people of God, people then cast off restraint and do not behave as those who are under the direction of a heavenly father. That explains a lot of the problems in the church in America and across the world. So, we miss God's purpose without embracing the prophetic voice. The true prophetic voice draws people into the love of the Father. Do you remember the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi? It has this, it sums up this way. When the spirit of Elijah comes, which means the prophetic gifting comes and reveals itself to the earth, children will be restored to fathers, and fathers will be restored to children. This is, in a summation, the work of a prophet to restore people to a heavenly father, to restore families to functional, life-giving relationships. This is a powerful ministry, and every one of us in this church are called to be a part of it. Now, not every one of us is a prophet, not every one of us is an apostle, but every one of us is apostolic. We're sent to establish the kingdom. Every one of us is prophetic. We speak with the voice of God, and it touches people's lives. We're all evangelistic. We invite people. We share our faith. We're all pastoral. We care for one another. You see how this works? And we're all teachers. We teach each other the ways of God. Now, I'm going to flip back to the back of my notes, and we're going to look at I'm going to tell you where we're headed, and then we're going to go back. So 1 Corinthians 14 gives us a very good biblical reason to accept the gift of prophecy. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy, that would be all of us in the local church, and an unbeliever or a new person, someone who's not a Christian, or an uninformed person walks through the door, comes in, he is convinced by all, and he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of the heart are revealed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and report, God is in the house. Guys, this is amazing. What you're going, what are y'all talking about, man? This is getting, no. You need to prophesy, because when unbelievers come into an environment and you go, I'm not talking about like you get in a trance and they start shaking, and thus saith the Lord. I mean, that could happen, but most of the time it's very natural. You have an illumined thought. You see a picture. You have an impression on your heart and you think, I need to share that with this person. And also, I really think just when all of us are walking in the prophetic heart of God, then it creates an environment. If you were here last week, we talked about one of our chief jobs as a fellowship is to create environments where people can experience God, not just know about Him, but feel Him, touch Him, feel, understand, experience a living God. And see, it says when unbelievers walk in, and we are all operating under the influence of the prophetic voice, people get saved. People fall on their face and repent. That is so much easier than going door to door. Knock, knock, knock. Turn or burn. You need to come to Jesus. I mean, that's not very effective. Have you noticed? So that's an end in mind, right? You're going, why do I want to prophesy? That's for the weird people. No, we're all weird. We're Christians, okay? You know what the Bible says? If I'm going to be a fool, I'll be a fool for Christ. You realize the world around you calls you an idiot, a fool, because you believe in an invisible God. You believe that a Jew who walked the earth 2,000 years ago shed his blood and it made a difference in your current life? Yeah, we believe this. So if you're going to believe that, you might as well step on into the prophetic, because you're already crazy. Hey, this could get really fun if we all just relax and say, you know what? It's not really weird. It becomes very natural and a normal flow of life. Some of the people I hang out with, I can just walk in the room and they know that I've been struggling with something. And they go, hey, man, are you okay? Because, you know, and I'm like, I hang around all these prophetic people, golly. But really, it helps, right? Because I get to experience the Father when they ask me how I'm doing. I say, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Well, man, let's just pray over that right now. See, what if we just embrace these gifts and the 20,000 people in Hale County that don't know Christ walk through our doors? They fall on their face and say, there is a God. I surrender my life to Jesus. Now that makes me want to be prophetic. How about you? Yeah. So let's categorize. Let's put some parameters on this for a minute. Look at the screen. The prophetic voice carries grace and empowerment for the obedient. You think about this in context of a father and his children, okay? Because those words from God release power. They release grace. Now, the opposite, the prophetic voice carries warning and correction for the disobedient. Think about your own kids, right? They don't want to come to Father when they've done wrong, but they know they need to come to Father because he'll bring them back to the path. You hear me? You say, well, where's the love? It's in the correction. It's in the warning. It's also in the empowerment of those who are obedient. See, I'm not going to give you a fluff today and just say, oh, prophecy is just here to make everybody feel better. No, if you're living in sin, prophecy will make you not feel better. It'll be what it says. You'll be convicted of your reality. But that conviction is not for condemnation. It's to bring you to redemption. Okay. The prophetic voice reveals the heart and will of God. So we're going to quickly go through seven truths about the prophetic. Then we're going to wind up here today with an opportunity to experience the voice of the Father through prophecy. Here we go. Number one, the prophetic voice lays foundations and benchmarks. Ephesians 2:20, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the prophetic voice works alongside the apostolic voice, and they lay the foundations of the church. They lay the benchmarks. They bring the word of God. Do you know in the Old Testament, it's like Amos and prophets like that said they would drop a plumb line to see if everything is right and true? Okay, you understand? It says Jesus is the cornerstone. So the plumb line that they drop measures us against Jesus and his word. And that is so important for our lives, because when we are in line with Jesus, as Mary said in the offering today, we are in the flow of God's blessing. So whether you walk in God's blessing today is not God's choice, it's yours. God's already made the blessing available. Line up with Jesus, receive the blessing of Jesus. Get out of line with Jesus and walk in the consequences of your bad choices. See how loving our Father is today. Even in this worship service, the word from the prophetic prayer was, offer your addiction and I'll take it away. Come on, that's a loving Father. So the prophetic word can shape a church's future. It can build foundationally. It lines us up with the Word of God. It can be very practical, however, as well, and give us specific instructions about how to do the next step in our journey. Number two, the prophetic voice reveals power. Now, this is, we're going back and taking some Old Testament paradigms because these prophetic truths carried through the Old Testament into the New Testament. Elijah was one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Then Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew or rain these years except at my word." Now Elijah didn't predict a drought like a weatherman. He loosed a drought on the word of God, and it wasn't going to start raining until he said it could start raining. Now that's powerful, isn't it? That's interesting. We'll go on to number three. The prophetic voice leads us to value God's presence. So Elisha was Elijah's protege. He learned from Elijah, and he received a double portion of Elijah's prophetic anointing. So here we pick up in 2 Kings 3:15 a story about Elisha. "But now bring me a musician," he said. "And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him." So Elisha would not minister or speak the word of the Lord until the hand of the Lord came upon him. What he's describing here is the presence of God. It's tangible, it's realizable, it's manifest. And so worship recentered him so he could experience an agreement with the heart of God and then speak the will of God. The same thing happens today. Do you know the word says that when we praise the Lord, when we worship him, that God has a special, it says he inhabits our praises. I know God is everywhere all the time according to the scripture, but he also says there's a special realization and manifestation of his presence when we worship him. So there's a purpose for singing the songs. Do you know the Bible way to go into war is to send the singers out first? So you know what? You guys should pray for our worship leaders. You know, some of these people are talented and they want to be on the worship team, and I make them meet with me before they even get to meet with the worship leaders. Why? Because this ain't America's Got Talent. This isn't the next American Idol, man. This is go into battle before us and prepare the way for the Lord. You cannot be a milk toast. You know, soggy, sappy, wimpy. You can't be that. You got to be strong and courageous to be on the worship team. So we should pray for those people. You know what I love? We got lots of princess warriors up here. Have you noticed these women leading worship? Man, they're in it. Thank God for the worship team. So the prophetic teaches us to recognize when we're in God's presence and it's manifest, and teaches us how to cooperate with the hand of God. This is huge. Number four, the prophetic voice gives us spiritual insight. Here's another story about Elisha. And Elisha had a servant. And for sake of time, I won't read the whole story. But Elisha had a servant who was with him. And they were up against opposition. And it looked like there were a lot more of them than there were with Elisha. And the servant was afraid. And Elisha was fine. So we pick up the story here. Elisha, he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open the eyes that my servant, that he may see." So the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire for Elisha. God, can you use your imagination for a minute? There are mountains in front of you. There are battles. It looks like enemies are stacked up against you. And as long as you only see with your natural eye, you will be afraid. But if God opens your eyes, you'll see that his power and his presence and his angels of fire are fighting with you or establishing you. And as Colossians says, he always leads us into triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on, church. I mean, this is good stuff. We need the prophetic voice so we can get in touch with the supernatural power of God. The prophetic voice reveals the nature of the spiritual fight, helps us go beyond the natural, helps us step in to the fight. Number five, the prophetic voice gives us words to fight with. 1 Timothy 1:18, I charge and commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So there's a paradigm in Scripture that says that we fight the good fight of faith. It is not natural, it is spiritual. And do you know the primary way that the enemy tries to defeat you? He tries to sow lies and deception into your heart and mind about you. You know why it's so important that we embrace the prophetic words? Because when you're blinded by all of your fears, that prophetic voice can cut right through it and speak truth and life to you. And it's like your eyes opening. It's like, oh, yeah, I am alive. I can win the fight. I can walk in faith. I can fulfill the destiny that God has for me. I can work with other people in sharing Christ with the world. I can have a successful marriage. I can have a productive family. I can fulfill God's purpose in my life. I thank God for the prophetic voice that helps us wage the good war and to win. So when a prophetic word is given to you, it becomes a weapon in your hand to fight against the opposition of the lies of the enemy. So getting a glimpse of how God sees us versus how we see ourselves or how we feel in any certain moment. That's why we have prayer at the end of every service, because these people are operating in a prophetic gifting. They can help you cut through all the fears, all the turmoil, all the darkness, and encounter God for your specific situation. That's why we invite prophetic people to come to our church from time to time and receive, let people receive personal prophetic words. In every life group, in our youth group, in every meeting we have, there's the potential for people to receive words of life because the prophetic voice of God is moving in our church. Number six, the prophetic voice gives us strength and courage. 1 Corinthians 14, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. 100% of the prophetic words given should result in your encouragement, your edification, your strengthening, and your consolation. It means you should be consoled in times of sorrow by the word of God, by the prophetic utterance of God. Number seven, the prophetic voice imparts spiritual gifts. Now, Romans 1:11 says, this is Paul speaking to the church at Rome. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. The Bible has this paradigm of the reality of when we lay our hands on people and pray for them, God releases spiritual gifts into their life. Gifts that they did not have before. So the true prophetic voice can discern a spiritual gift that God wants to give and then pray for someone and they'll receive it. That is a very powerful experience. Many of you in this room have experienced this kind of reality. You've been prayed for, your eyes have been opened, you feel encouraged and strengthened. Many of you have received spiritual gifts through the laying on of hands and through the ministry of this church. I want you to stop and think, what if I'm not just a recipient, now I'm a giver? Because I've been blessed, now I can be a blessing. See, this is how the church is supposed to work. Really, we don't need a special prophet to come to our church to prophesy to people, because our church can prophesy to one another if we've received the equipping of the prophetic gift among us. Hey, I like that. I think that's when church gets real, it gets powerful, it gets effective. And I happen to think that's why we are being effective, because we're embracing to the best of our ability all five of these leadership gifts here in our church. So the prophetic voice reveals the heart and the will of God the Father. Now let's go back to right where we started, 1 Corinthians 14. But if all prophesy, all of us, just imagine this, maybe even close your eyes and think about what this would look like when somebody walks in the foyer of our building and they fall on their knees and go, God is in the house. Woo! Worship team doesn't get to lead worship. Preachers don't get to preach because we're just all out there gathering up all the people on their knees. Oh, God is present here. I want to repent. Hey, man, if y'all don't think that's cool, I do. I can't wait. So the unbeliever, the uninformed person comes in. He's convinced, he's convicted, and thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed. Well, how does that happen? Well, one of you just comes up and says, hey, you know, and as simple as something like this. When I saw you walk through that door, the Lord told me to come up to you and say, does the color purple have any significance in your life right now? And you're like, I don't even know what's purple have to do with it. That has something, and that God's speaking. And that, you see what I'm saying? I mean, here's the crazy story. Like, we heard this story from a church in South Africa. Up in the balcony, there was a police officer who had been, like, drugged to church, right? He's like, oh, somebody, just get off my back. I'm going to go to church. And he's sitting up in the back hearing this message, really being compelled that he needed to give his life to Christ, but he had such pain and such doubt because of his life circumstances, he made this little prayer. God, if this is real, have somebody do backflips across the front of this auditorium. He thought he was safe there. Well, unbeknownst to him, one of the associate pastor's wives had gone up to the senior pastor and said, I know God is telling me that I need to do backflips across the front of this auditorium. And the senior pastor goes, what are you talking about, honey? No, I'm convinced I have to do this. I was a gymnast in college. I know how to do this. I got everything tucked in. It's going to be good. And floop, 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 and this guy begins to wail, oh, Lord, I repent. You are real. Come on. How many of us have the boldness to hear God like that and see it transform somebody's life? Would you stand with me? Hey, you don't have to do backflips today. Most of us can't anyway. But what if we surrendered to the prophetic voice? What if we just said, okay, God, whatever my fears hang-ups are about this thing called prophecy, I'm just going to lay it aside. I'm going to receive this truth about this message today. What if we allowed God to empower us with his heart and his will for people? So here's the invitation today. Will you be the one? Will you answer the call? Will you surrender your will to his will and allow God to empower you? Literally, prophecy in its base form means to speak on God's behalf. So I get to share God with you, the Father who loves me. I want to introduce you to him. He's been so good to me. As we sing and we end up this time together, I just want to encourage you to really think, God, how do you want to empower me? How can you use me to release your heart and your will to the people of West Texas? Would you sing with us?
Let it be.